Hello, friends, and welcome to the Meditative Aiden podcast, where we talk about mindfulness and how to use mindful tips, tricks, and tools to help you work through the experiences and challenges of everyday life. My name is Aiden, and today's podcast is derived from the video on YouTube. Just pulled the audio from that. And it's going to kind of give you an overview of depression and how mindfulness and depression work together. I hope that you enjoy today's podcast, and let's get to it. In this video, we're going to cover what depression is, where it comes from, and kind of what that experience is like. We're going to use an analogy to kind of describe that. And then we're going to talk about how mindfulness actually helps with the experience of depression, how mindfulness can help you break through the cycle of depression, and a little bit of the research that has been conducted about depression and mindfulness, and what that field of study looks like right now. Then I'm going to top it off by, you know, giving you just a little challenge to think about your own experience. So first and foremost, let's talk about the experience of depression. So the difficult thing about nailing down a definition of depression is that there are so many triggers, there are so many things that cause it. And the experience itself is usually characterized by a lack of energy, a lack of motivation, fatigue, drowsiness, sadness, and just kind of a sense of grief and maybe a sense of being overwhelmed. But depression is also characterized by a general lowering or lack of certain neurochemicals. Typically, this is caused, you know, for, like I said, any number of reasons, but one of the main things that doctors suggest is that, you know, very first and foremost, it's a lack of sleep. Second, it's a lack of proper nutrition. And three, it's a lack of exercise. And the reason they say that is because during your sleep cycle, when you take the time to give your brain the necessary time to heal itself and move all of the byproducts of daily metabolism out, breaking that cycle and not giving your brain enough time doesn't allow it to refresh and prep for the day. Now, one of the reasons that nutrition is really important is because the food that you eat provides the chemical substrates that create the neurochemicals that are associated with depression. Similarly with exercise, exercise stimulates the release and creation of those same neurochemicals to aid with, you know, that sense of happiness or fulfillment. So when it comes to the experience of depression, the way that I like to think about it is kind of like a dark tunnel. And it's almost like you're put in this tunnel and you aren't really sure why you're there, and you're not really sure where this tunnel even is, or, you know, there are a lot of questions about this tunnel. But the fact of the matter is that you're in this dark tunnel, and the darkness is kind of consuming and kind of soul crushing. Now, you can maybe see a light at the end of the tunnel, and a lot of the different ways that people tend to interact with this tunnel is, one, either running towards that light at the end of the tunnel. The issue with a lot of people in that experience is the light at the end of the tunnel never seems to get any closer, which can become very defeating in a sense. Another way that a lot of people tend to cope with this is through, you know, just sitting back and saying, well, I'm in this tunnel and I'm just going to be stuck here. And instead of trying to do anything about it, they just kind of lay back and lay on the ground of the tunnel and just allow that darkness to crush them. Now, the reason that I like this analogy is because depression kind of feels like being stuck in that tunnel. It just feels like you're trapped and there's no way to get out. And that's one of the primary issues with depression, is it's so hard to break out of that tunnel, per se, and so hard to, you know, experience the light outside of it. And a lot of the ways that we tend to cope with that is, you know, through numbing. One of the primary things that a lot of people do is just sit and watch TV or any number of different things that don't allow them to work through the experience, rather trying to cover it up with a Band-Aid. And an example of what this looks like is, you know, you're in that tunnel and you get a sliver and you just throw a Band-Aid on top of that. Now, where mindfulness comes in is it allows you to work through the experience of being in that tunnel, and similarly to actually remove that sliver instead of just putting a Band-Aid over it. One of the best ways that I know how to describe this is mindfulness is kind of like a flashlight in this tunnel. It's kind of like you reach into your pocket and there's a flashlight there that always has been there. And you're able to turn on this flashlight to look around the tunnel that you're in. Now, specifically with depression, I really like to talk about Tara Brach and some of the work that she has done with, you know, explaining depression and how to work through it. Tara is a clinical psychologist, so she has a really strong background in clinical science and the neuroscience behind it and therapeutic methods working through these kinds of things. And one of the main things that she suggests is her RAIN method. That acronym stands for Recognize, Acknowledge, Investigate, and Nurture. So the very first thing that you do in this experience of mindfulness and handling this, being in this experience of depression, is you recognize that you're there. And what this means is first taking a look at the experience and saying, I recognize that, you know, I'm feeling this experience of depression. I recognize that I'm in this moment. The second step is to acknowledge that. And acknowledgement kind of takes it one step further by allowing yourself to understand that it's okay to be in that situation, to acknowledge the circumstances that put you there that you may or may not be aware of. So what this would look like is first you recognize, saying, I recognize that I'm experiencing this, and then acknowledging it says, I acknowledge that this might have caused this, I acknowledge the situation I'm in, and that it's not a moral problem. It's not good or bad, it just exists, and here I am. So the next step that Tara suggests is to investigate that, and this is where that flashlight comes out. What this means is that you take the time to take a look at the tunnel around you. You take the time to turn on that flashlight to look around the experience that you're in. Now this might sound a little stupid, but if you turn on that flashlight, you might find out that in this tunnel there are, say, some petroglyphs or something. Or you might find that there are other people in there, as terrifying as that would be. And that investigation allows you to appreciate that experience that you're in. Now, as counterintuitive as that sounds, to appreciate the experience of depression, the reason that that's such a powerful tool is because when you get out into the light, you can appreciate the experience of depression and what you learned from that, while also having a greater appreciation for what it's like to not be experiencing that in that moment. The most powerful part of this investigation is taking time to look around that tunnel and investigate why you're there, what led you there, what you're feeling, what's going on, and allowing yourself to kind of question your way through understanding the experience. And that's what that investigation step is all about, is understanding the experience. So some questions that you might ask are, you know, what triggers cause this experience to arise? How am I interacting with this experience? Do I feel like a bad person for having this experience? Am I beating myself up over this experience? These questions kind of allow you to understand the broader scope of the situation at hand, understanding how you're interacting with it and how it's influencing you. And this is really important because all too often depression is always joined by this sense of rumination. You're just constantly thinking over the same thing and pushing yourself down a negative spiral. And this is something I probably should have mentioned earlier that characterizes depression, is this sense of rumination. And what this means, for example, is that you're in this tunnel and you're feeling this sensation of depression, you're feeling this sensation of fatigue or, you know, sadness or whatever it is. And the sense of rumination is then saying, I, you know, deserve to be here, or I am here because of this, therefore I'm a bad person. And that rumination creates a negative cycle that pushes you even further into the experience and makes it harder to come out. Because that rumination is you telling yourself a story about the experience. Where mindfulness comes in with that investigation step is understanding the story that you may or may not be telling yourself, which is all about, you know, that's that interaction you're having with the experience. When it comes to the fourth step that Tara has mentioned, this nurturing, this one's a little difficult to explain because it can seem so abstract. What this means is that the experience that you're having, you send love and compassion that way. And again, as hippie as that sounds, I'm going to give you a practical example of what that looks like. So going back through all four steps, first you recognize, I recognize that I'm experiencing a sense of depression. I recognize that I'm experiencing depression. Acknowledgement, I acknowledge that it's okay to be in this situation and that nothing is wrong with me. That investigation then, you say, why am I in this situation and how am I interacting with it? you know, through that investigation, you might find that you're telling yourself a story that is putting you in a negative cycle that's making that experience even worse. And then nurturing gives you, nurturing is about taking that experience and that story and separating them and just giving yourself some love where kind of that sense of self-deprecation comes in. So instead of saying, for example, you know, I am laying on the ground in this experience of depression and I'm just going to sit in here because I deserve this. Instead of saying that or trying to experience it that way, nurturing is about saying, it sucks to be in this situation and it's difficult, but I appreciate the situation and what I can learn from it. And, you know, I'm not a lazy or fatigued or just always tired person. I don't need to identify with these feelings and things like that. Nurturing is all about taking that experience and kind of allowing yourself to separate your identity from it, allowing yourself to handle it with a higher level of positivity instead. You know, the sense of nurturing is almost completely opposite to that sense of rumination, because instead of telling yourself a story that enhances the negative aspects of depression, allowing yourself to nurture that experience and to nurture the positive side of depression allows you to, you know, not tell yourself stories and to allow yourself to just experience that sensation for what it is. So something that's really important to talk about here as well is that Tara has made this RAIN method more dynamic. She's changed it over time to reflect a lot of the values and traits of mindfulness. What this means is that instead of engaging with that experience of depression, the RAIN method is all about how to accept it and sit with it in kindness and self-compassion. It's also really important to note that the very last step, this nurturing part, she also calls non-identification, which is all about not identifying with that experience so that you don't become a part of it. The reason that this is important, as we've talked about before, is because it prevents you from identifying yourself as the experience. Instead of saying, I am depressed, that phrase right there makes it sound like you are depression. Whereas non-identification says, I am experiencing this depression. It's also really important to note that this entire method focuses on acceptance of the situation and investigating everything with kindness and self-compassion. So in that second step, that's, you know, acknowledgement, she also calls that acceptance as well. And what that means is that you're not trying to fight the situation, but accepting it for what it is. And then in that investigation step, it's all about asking those questions and making that investigation with the mindset and the heart of compassion and self-kindness, and not asking questions that, you know, are self-pitying or trying to ruminate. It's asking questions to break out of that ruminatory cycle, if that's even a word, ruminatory cycle. Nonetheless, the whole process is about, one, recognizing it's there, second, acknowledging and accepting that it's there, third, investigating, asking questions why it's there with kindness and compassion, and fourth, it's about nurturing that experience and not identifying with the story and the feelings and sensations and the experience that you're currently in. So I wanted to do a little bit of study to see what kind of underlies mindfulness and depression and see where the scientific community is with this. And there is actually an enormous amount of research that's being conducted right now and has been conducted on how mindfulness affects that sensation and experience of depression. And all of the studies that I read, all of them suggested, you know, first and foremost, as you would almost expect, that before and after, the experience of depression was less severe after applying mindful practices and learning mindful techniques. And even more than that, these studies were showing that after, you know, a year, the recurrent rates of depression were lower. So what this means is that typically, if you go through therapy or medication or whatever it is for that experience of depression, therapy and medication are about helping you learn how to cope with the experience and work through the experience of depression. And what happens is after about, you know, you say you finish therapy in January 1 year, the next year, it's likely that you're going to be back in that state again. As defeating as that might sound, the reason is because depression is something that always occurs. It's kind of like a mindset or something that, you know, it's just a habitual thought pattern. What they showed in these studies were that after the fact of, you know, you finish this mindfulness-based training and therapy in January 1 year, the chance that you have that relapse a year later was significantly lower. And one of the reasons that they said this is because mindfulness teaches you the skills and tools necessary to reevaluate and reappraise the situation. On top of that, they also talked about experiencing things with a sense of novelty. So I want to go through each of these individually and why they're so important. First and foremost is reevaluating your experience. So what mindfulness teaches you to do is take a look at the situation at hand and value it differently. For an example, there might be a vase that your grandmother has handed down through the family for years. And this is a vase that, you know, is valuable to you in your own sense, but, you know, you might sell it for like a couple of bucks. Revaluing and reappraising that vase means to take it and say to like an antique collector and have them value that, say, at like $200. That sense of reappraisal is changing the value of that object. So with depression and mindfulness training, it helps you reappraise, change the value of the experience. So what this looks like is instead of saying that I am depressed, therefore I am always lazy, therefore I'm bad, therefore I'll never fit in, you break that experience apart and instead say, you know, I'm experiencing this depression, which means, you know, that I'm not always depressed, that I'm not necessarily a bad person. The reason that that's so important is because when that experience comes up, you have the skill set necessary to help you work through that experience without evaluating it as something personally wrong with you. And that was, again, one of the big reasons that researchers said that it's such a powerful tool is because it teaches you the skills to work through that experience. So when it comes to experiencing depression with a sense of novelty, that's kind of a weird sounding phrase. What that means is that you take a look at a situation without reference to past situations. So to experience it with a sense of novelty is kind of like experiencing it for the first time. The value in this is that when you take an experience and instead of identifying that experience with previous experiences, you allow yourself to curiously investigate and experience that situation as if it's the first time. Now, why this helps is primarily because of the investigation that you can do into that experience. It kind of breaks you from that story you've been telling yourself in the past and allows you to work with your depression in asking questions like it's the first time. So novelty is about, you know, bringing that sense of childlike curiosity to the situation, trying to understand why this experience is occurring by asking those questions. You know, where is it coming from? Why is this happening? Not with that sense of like, why is this happening? Why is the world falling on top of me? It's more of asking these questions to understand the situation. The reason the researcher said this was so important is because it helps people understand how to, again, break free from that story and that sense of rumination. Because over time, when you tell yourself a story about the depression you experience and why you're experiencing that, it kind of builds over time to create this long narrative saying, I'm a lazy person and have been for the past few years. One of the amazing things that I learned about this is that there are actually specific therapies that are mindfulness-based, targeted on depression and anxiety. And the primary methods were called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy and mindfulness-based stress reduction. And these two therapies have again shown significant rates of reduction of symptoms of depression while also teaching people how to prevent a significant relapse in those depressive symptoms. And if you're interested in learning more about those, there are a lot of mindfulness-based cognitive therapists that are trained probably in your area, and there are a lot of amazing resources for how to learn the tools and tricks of mindfulness-based stress reduction online, which I will link down in the description. I want to give you a personal example of how I've handled depression with mindfulness in the past. In fact, this happened just, you know, over the past week. I was laying in bed and, you know, I woke up. And the first thing I noticed when I woke up is, holy crap, I don't feel good. And it was like I woke up in that dark tunnel and it was just consuming. You know, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. When, you know, we were driving at one point throughout the day, I just kind of stared out the window because there was so little energy to do anything. At one point, you know, my wife went to go exercise, went to go to the gym, and, you know, invited me to come with, and I said no because I wasn't feeling good. And immediately I started telling myself a story about how because I am feeling this sensation of depression, it means I'm not good enough, and it's stopping me from going to the gym, which makes me a bad person, which makes me lazy, which makes me gain weight, which so on and so forth. This is an interesting example because I actually did not apply my practice of mindfulness very well. And there are any number of excuses that I can apply to that, but I learned so much from this experience, you know, how to deal with it the right way next time. So I know that next time, what this situation would look like is, you know, very first and foremost, I'm gonna remember to use Tara Brach's four-step method, RAIN, R-A-I-N. When I wake up, the very first thing I'm gonna do is recognize that experience. And I'm gonna say, oh, I see that I'm experiencing depression right now. I'm experiencing that strange sense of depression. And then I'm gonna acknowledge it and say, I acknowledge that this experience is here and there's nothing wrong with that, and that it's okay for me to feel this way. Following that, I will go through the investigation, trying to understand why this happened, asking myself questions, you know, where do I feel this? Why is this occurring? What triggered this? And how am I interacting with this experience? Through that investigation, I might find that I just didn't get enough sleep the day before, or I didn't get a good night of sleep. Through that investigation, I would find that, you know, I was telling myself a really negative story that was ruminating and causing that situation to become worse. So then moving into that nurturing, when I sit down with that experience next time, I'll know that to nurture that experience, I will try to break away from that story and remember to tell myself, it's okay to feel this way, and there's nothing wrong with feeling this way. With the step of nurturing, what I'll do next time, learning from this experience, is then taking that investigation and finding where it is that I'm necessarily experiencing this depression. And taking the time to say, you know, I see that I am feeling this way because, you know, I've gained a significant amount of weight. And, you know, I feel really negative about myself when, you know, I see my wife go to the gym and I don't want to go because I'm tired, because it makes me feel like I'm not doing enough, like I'm, you know, going to stay this way and so on and so forth. And then nurturing that experience to say, you know what, I see that, you know, I'm pretty sensitive about my weight and my health, and, you know, allowing myself to work through that experience by saying, I appreciate the health that I do have. I appreciate the body that I do have. I appreciate that this experience is happening because it's helping me learn more about, you know, what's going on in my inner world, that there are some unresolved issues there that I probably need to work through. Furthermore, sending love into that experience and saying, you know, I'm sorry that I'm feeling that way. Not in like a self-pitying kind of way, but in a genuinely nurturing way, saying, I am having a difficult time with this experience. You know, maybe even reaching out to someone, reaching out to my wife to mention that. That nurturing part, like I said, is all about, in this experience, me breaking away from that story, breaking away from the story I'm telling myself about the experience. So I want you to take a moment to think about an experience with depression that you might have had lately, and how, first and foremost, you handled that, and how that situation, you know, might have been better, or, you know, what caused that situation, and how that experience went for you. And then I want you to take some time to think about, using the tools of mindfulness, how that experience could have been different, and how you could have worked through that experience to have, you know, a better situation. And what it would have been like to try to break free from that story that you so often tell yourself. So take a moment, pause the video if you need, just to think about that, just to contemplate what that experience would have been like. And, you know, if you don't know how to practice the tools and tricks of mindfulness, that's okay. We're gonna definitely work through some videos that explain some of the things you can do to develop that sense of awareness, and how you can apply that sense of awareness to the situation. Again, this video is mostly an overview of how mindfulness works with depression. And in the future, I definitely want to go over and create some videos that go into the different tools and methods you can use for those specific experiences. I have personally had, you know, constant struggles and challenges with depression my entire life. And I know that the way that I was coping with them before wasn't necessarily healthy. I was trying to run from it and numb it out. And when I found mindfulness and how mindfulness helped me learn how to cope with these situations and work through them, my experience of depression has totally changed. Like the story I told you earlier, I'm not perfect at practicing this, and it takes time and effort to learn the skills and remind yourself to use these. But I know that it's made an enormous difference in my life, and I know it can make an enormous difference in your life too if you're experiencing or trying to work through the experience of depression. I really hope that you guys got something out of this video. If you did, please give it a like, maybe subscribe if you're interested in learning more. We also have a blog article on this on the website, which I'll have linked below. You can find us on Instagram at Meditative Aiden and Facebook. So glad that you guys joined me today, and I'll see you again next week.